we were doing the Ketzos and the Kovetz on Thursday. There was a blackout during the shiur, so we couldn't tape it. But just Bekitzer, I just want to go over Bekitzer. Okay? So it's the Kitzer Kovetz. So how does it work out? So his question was, the Ketzos had a fantastic question. Says, if you're going to really learn Gito Viados Bon Kechad, where is the Ketzos? The Ketzos is in Simon, is in Choshe Mishma Simon Reish, I believe. So if you really hold Gito Viado by the Eved is Bon Kechad, so what does that mean? It means to say that he needs to receive his get to have. And what was the problem? The problem is his hand. He doesn't have his yad until he gets the get, and he can't get the get without his yad. So seemingly, it's like we're saying that by giving him the get, he'll have his yad, and by giving him his and by getting his yad, he'll have his get. It's like a circular problem.
Yeah.
Right. The yad requires the get, and the get requires the yad. I mean, the yad gives him the get, and the but the get is what gives him the yad to give him the get, which would give him the yad. So it's obviously a circular problem. So the Ketzos' question was that, given the fact that that works, that we say it's bo and kechad, that somehow it comes out that they come together at once. So what about a simple? What about a case that's comparable to that? What about a case like this? If I have a chatzer that's my own property, 100% my property, and I want to give it as a matana to Reuven, so I write a shtar matana that says, "Hareini nosein chatzer zu b'matana leRuven." Right? Write that in my shtar. And what do I do with the shtar? I put it into my chatzer. So can I say that he will acquire the chatzer and the shtar at once? Bo'in ke'echad. Now, in order for him to acquire the chatzer, he has to acquire the shtar, because that's how a shtar works. And in order for him to acquire the shtar, though, he has to own the chatzer. So why don't I say it's the same exact problem? Same exact problem as the eved and his get. So how do I resolve it by the eved and the get? I say they're bo'in ke'echad. Bo'in ke'echad. So why can't I say shtar matana v'chatzero bo'en ke'echad? It's true that he'll need to have the shtar to get the chatzer, and he'll have to have the chatzer to give him the shtar, but it's bo'en ke'echad. That's the Ketzos' question. So the Ketzos says that that's not, that won't work. It's not comparable, and it won't work by the shtar. Why? So his main chilek is like this, that by a shtar matana, how do you acquire the karka? By actually making a kinyan in the shtar itself. There's a zechus mamon in the shtar. You own the paper of the shtar. And when you own the paper and the ink of the shtar, that is when you own, that is when the document is effective. And that's when the transfer of the chatzer will take place. But without a real kinyan on the guf hashtar, there won't be a kinyan on the chatzer. So that's impossible. It's impossible to say you're kona the shtar with the chatzer that you only own through being kona the shtar. It's not possible. But by the shichror, he says he doesn't need, and by the gittin through a woman's chatzer, there's no din of being kone the cheftza itself of the shtar. All you need to do is say that there was a nesina to the eved or to the isha.
And they have a yad, right? That's what he was trying to
say. And that's what he's implying. They do have a yad. It is, so he was saying, so you see, you can be considered a nesinas cheftza to the eved, even though he's not kone. And therefore, it would be bo'en kechad. Okay.
Wait, what's being, and what when we say yado like gito veyado, what's being removed now is like.
Oh, so that's a good question.
Is it that the Baal umbrella ownership is now removed, and now it's all that's left is the Eved's yad ownership? Like, what is that?
Right. You mean what does the boy in kechad mean?
Yeah, like it makes right. sense. Oh, he has a yad, it's just subsumed under the Baal. And now we're taking that, extra fact away.
Right, right. So it seems he's learning that what? That with the nesina of the get, then he gets back his hand of kinyan. But he doesn't need the hand of kinyan for the nesina.
He doesn't need
his yad of kinyan for nesina to take place.
Yeah.
Right?
Because he can still acquire it just for another.
He doesn't need to acquire it. He doesn't need to acquire it. He has to be the object of the nesina. That's all he needs to be. Okay.
It's different than kinyan. It's a different track than kinyan. You have to say it, no?
Yes, but the thing is, what the Ketzos doesn't really explain, and maybe he leaves this to you for you to explain, is what is the Ba'en Ke'echad for? What do you need Ba'en Ke'echad for? What is Ba'en Ke'echad solving? If all you really need is nesina, so then there's no question. What was the question and what is the answer of Ba'en Ke'echad? So that's what the Ketzos, that's what the Kovetz is bothered. He says, look, there still is this idea that he wasn't roi for nesina, because otherwise there wouldn't have been a question. So the fact that there is a question, the fact that there is this idea of bo'en ke'echad, still implies that there's some circular issue over here. So his criticism on the Ketzos is twofold. First of all, he says he doesn't agree with him that there's no kinyan on the guf ashtar by gittin. He says that's not so clear that that's true. Secondly, he's saying, doesn't this whole problem of bo'en ke'echad exist in terms of the object of nesina itself? In other words, is the eved roi for nesina or not? If he's roi for nesina, then what do you need this idea of bo'en ke'echad? And if he's not intrinsically roi for nesina until it happens, then why isn't that also some sort of a circular problem? We'll come back to the Ketzos to see what he's saying a little later. But I just wanted to do what the Kovetz was saying. Okay, so he had a very well thought out idea. I have to give him credit for having a very well thought out idea and explaining it fairly clearly, explicitly. Okay? And what was his idea? His idea was as follows. He says, you have to differentiate in a good transaction, there's two steps. Right? For me to give you something, and he's assuming that the get is something that has to be acquired by the woman, by the Eved. He's not using the Ketzos' idea of no kinyan on the shtar. He's saying even with kinyan on the shtar, he's still gonna work it out. Okay? How does it work out? It's like this. You gotta break down. By the way, it's a very good approach. You see the way he's thinking things through? He has his problem, but what does he do? He doesn't work on the problem. Takes the step back and says, well, let's just think about kinyanim on our own. Let's just think about how kinyanim work. If you have a problem and you feel like you're being stuck because there's something that doesn't make sense to you in kinyan, you don't just keep trying ramming and ramming and ramming through. You say, well, let's just take a step back and let's just think logically how kinyanim work. And maybe if we don't obsess on the problem and we just think more seriously about the the framework, maybe that will help us think things through. Because usually the problem, a lot of times, sometimes the problem is that given your premises, there is a contradiction. And you're not going to resolve it without going back to your very premises and thinking them through again. Right? If it's a mistake in your premise that's basically revealed by this contradiction, then just putting more power into it is not going to help you. You've got to take a step back and think through your make sure your framework and your premises are good. So he says, look, let's think through the basic framework of how kinyanim work. So he's saying there really are two parts. In a certain sense, you could conceptually say there are two parts to a kinyan. One is that I take the object and put it into your rishus. Okay, it gets a little bit loose when you think about it this way, but I put it into your rishus. And let's put it this way. There's two things that happen. It goes into your rishus and it has to leave my rishus. Right? That's what the complete kinyan has. That it goes into your rishus and it leaves my rishus. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I'm missing a very important part of the puzzle here. He says also, if you look carefully at the Gemara, he's bothered by two problems. And this guides his thinking, right? Because although you have to take a step back and think honestly about the framework, you do need a little bit of guidance to help you recognize what direction you might want to take in setting up your framework. But so he says, if you look at the Gemara carefully in Kiddushin, you'll see two interesting problems. One problem is the Gemara only asks the reason for the one who rejects Gito V'yado Bo'en Gechad. And the Gemara says it's a pasuk that he learns that for that reason, and because of that pasuk, that's why he rejects Gito V'yado Bo'en Gechad. So how does the Eved get freed? The get has to be given to a third party. But, and what was the rejection? Because the Gemara said that he looks at the get shichror as compared to a get isha. And just like by the get isha, it's ad sheyetze mirshus habal, right? So too, by the get shichror, it has to be out of the rishus of the baal. Okay, am I right? More or less right, correct? So, he has two questions. He says, first of all, why is the burden on the one who's rejecting Gito V'yado Bo'en Gechad? Isn't Gito V'yado, why doesn't the Gemara just say it's a Svara? He holds Gito V'yado by Alpi Svara, and he rejects Gito V'yado Alpi Svara. Right? A lot of times you have a Machlokas in Svara. So, so he says, it's really mashma that al pisvara, it's 100%. It's not even admissible to a machlokas in svara. And the one who rejects it only because of a pasuk. In other words, you can have a question about svara. You can say, when you're making a mechitza, does it have to be mainly fenced in, or is it enough if it's even the amount of fencing and non-fencing? In other words, is there a svara to say it can't be, it can't have the quality of parts, so as long as it's parts and the omid are equal, that's enough? Or does it have to have a positive quality of geder, so you need more fence than space? Okay, it's a svara. We can argue on the svara. I mean, there are two ways to legitimately view the idea of enclosing an area. Is it stopping the openness, or is it there is a positive quality of fencing? All right, so what would be enough? I mean, if you want to stop the openness, then Paritz Ke'omed is enough, because you don't have the quality of Pirtza anymore. You don't have the quality of openness. But if you hold Yudafka, you need a fence, so then you need Omed Merubala parts. Okay? So, in Shabbos. So you can say, okay, it's a Svara. I can't say if someone says one way or the other, they don't have the faculty of thinking. Right? So his question is, Gito V'yado Bo'en Gechad seems like a very far-fetched idea. On the contrary, it would seem like Al Pi Svara, you should reject it. It seems like it requires fancy maneuvering to accept it. So when the Gemara asks why he rejects it, and it has to find a pasuk, that's a funny thing. That implies the opposite. It implies that Al Pi Svara, there's no reason to reject it. Okay, so that's our first indication that something in our framework is totally messed up. Because coming from our framework, it looks like Gito V'yado is an aberration. So he's showing you, first of all, when you look at the Gemara, you'll see serious indication that there's something wrong with the way we think about things normally. Okay, and the second problem is that what do we think is the main problem of Gito V'yado? That the Eved doesn't have a hand to put it into. Right, but the Gemara says the main problem is that it hasn't left the Rishus of the Baal.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it say Ma get Isha ad she yavo liyad Isha hach get Eved hachanami get Eved ad she yavo liyad Eved? Doesn't say that. It says just like the Isha, it leaves the Rishus of the Baal. So too by Eved, it has to leave the Rishus of the Eved. Our way of thinking is backwards from the way the Gemara is setting things up. in two ways. First of all, our thinking is that Gita Vyado is like a incredible chiddush, and the Gemara seems to think it's pashut, and it looks for a reason to reject it. And on the other hand, we think the main problem is the Eved doesn't have a place to give it to. And the Gemara is saying, no, the problem is it hasn't left the Baal yet. So we see there's something very, there's a great dissonance between our intuitive thinking about these things and the Gemara's intuitive thinking about these things. So that requires either for us to rewrite the Gemara or to redo our framework. Okay? So he chooses the latter. And he says that what? That if you think about kinyanim, you think about transferring ownership from one person to another, there's two things. First of all, you have to put it into the other person's domain. Okay, physically, to put it into the other person's domain. And you have to relinquish your hold on the thing. Those are the two things that are required for a kinyan to be complete. Okay? So he says, if you think about it naturally, I think I'm taking things a little bit out of order, right? First he goes, it doesn't matter. He says, when you think when we talk about the Eved's Yad, right? He says, what's really the problem with the Eved's Yad? Does it really make sense to say the Eved doesn't have his own hand? Does that really make sense to say the Eved doesn't have his own hand? I mean, you have a hand, right? Did you buy it in the store? No.
Yeah.
Right? Do you have a shtar on the ownership, a deed? You have a title to your hand? No. So there's no, your hand is not yours because you bought it. It's not yours in the framework of Mekachem Memkar. It's not yours in the framework of Mominus at all. It's your hand because wherever you are, which is a deep philosophical question, wherever you are in that body of yours, your hand is clearly a part of it. Okay? So it's yours because it's you. It's part of you. It's attached to to the rest of your goof. You don't need to find a reason to why your hand is yours. It's like an a priori thing that your hand is yours. Okay? So the fact that the Eved is owned in terms of servitude and everything he does he has to do for the Baal doesn't mean that the limb doesn't belong to him. As long as we can say there is a person who's considered an Eved, and he is an independent, he is a real person, he's not a robot, the Baal doesn't have a shush to terminate his life or anything like that. He is his own person. He is a ben mitzvos. I mean, he has mitzvos like an isha. And therefore, to the degree that we're certain he exists with his hand, and his hand is part of his own existence. You can't say the problem is there's no Eved or there's no hand. Of course he is the Eved and that is clearly his hand. It's like, you know, like the Ram says, certain things are obvious, but you know, they get corrupted and need to be proven when in reality, no, they shouldn't have to be proven at all. Like, we all know we can move, but Zeno made a paradox that nobody should be able to move. So, therefore, Aristotle had to disprove Zeno. But not that he had to prove we move.
Yeah.
So, and the other point that we said is, even according to the one who holds Gita, who does not hold from Gita Vyado, so how does the Eved gain his freedom? He has somebody else accepting it on his behalf. But if he doesn't exist, how could someone exist, accept it on his behalf? So obviously the Eved is a gavra. There is definitely a gavra, an independent gavra of the Eved. Everything he does for the guy. But he does definitely have an identity. Otherwise, how could a third person be on his behalf? Right? So we said like this. The problem is not that the Eved doesn't exist. The problem is that he's subsumed and he's sort of smothered under the rishus within the rishus of someone else. Okay? So, and that's why the third person would be good, because he would be beyond, outside the reach of the other one. But in terms of the, so that's what the Gemara is explaining. When you put it into the yad of the Eved, The problem is not that it's not going in the Eved's own Rishus. It's not going. The problem is not that it's not going to the Eved. It is going to the Eved. That's his Yad. That's him. The problem is the second half of Kinyan. That in order for a Maisa Kinyan to be good, it has to be going into the person's Rishus and leaving the giver's Rishus. But since the Eved is completely under the Rishus of the Baal, then although it goes into his Rishus, it simultaneously remains within the Baal's overall Rishus. So the problem is not Adche Nichnas Liyad Eved. That's not the problem. It's Adche Yetze Me Rishus HaAdam. Okay? So he says that would be similar to a case if you and I owned a piece of property in Shutfus, and I wanted to transfer to you my watch, and I want you, the Chatzar, to be Konet for you. So I put the watch on the ground, and I say, I'm giving it to you through a kinyan of your chatzir. Now it's our chatzir, so you have a shame bailus on this chatzir. So he says, what's the problem with that? Why would that not be a good kinyan? It would be considered that it went into your rishus, but it wouldn't be a good kinyan because it didn't leave my rishus. It's still sitting on property that's considered mine. Okay, so he's saying that's the problem that exists with the Eved. That's the problem of Gito. That's the problem that we need Gito v'yado ba'en kechad for. Not to give him a hand that the Adam can put it into, but to somehow be able to remove the rishus of the Baal from the hand.
Yeah. That's okay. What I was saying before, like to take away like his umbrella.
That's right, his umbrella, exactly. So, but now this is where the magic occurs, right? Because now it seems like we're going to get stuck again. How does it happen simultaneously, right? Because he's saying that without removing the Baal, the giver's rishus, there's no kinyan. And so, how do you remove the giver's rishus?
What's the word he used?
So his answer is like this: he says no. You have to think it through more carefully. There are two parts to a kinyan, and they don't have equal weights. Okay, I'm reading a lot of into this, so you'll have to verify if you believe my. If you want to verify my interpretation, you have to read it yourself. Otherwise, just trust me; it's a very good interpretation. But he's saying that when you're putting the matana into the when you're putting the object into the recipient's yad. So that is going into his rishus. That's going into his rishus. He says, but the fact that it still is in my rishus, that really is the essence of the kinyan. But if I'm still retaining some sort of a hold on it, that's a ma'akev in the giving. He calls that a ma'akev. I'm saying, the fact that it's remaining related to me is a ma'akev in the giving. It withholds the mesira. Okay, so it means still like this. So for instance, in our case, where I put it into the chatzir, so in a sense, I did put it into your rishus, but why does the putting it into your property not complete the transaction of divesting it from my ownership? Because I did it in a way that I still have some relationship to the object. I did it in a way that I'm still tied to it in a certain way. So he says, that's not a good giving. Because giving has to be absolute. If I give you something, it has to be done through a mechanism that expresses that I am that the absolute character of the transaction. So if I would give you my watch and put it in your hand but never let go of it, that would be similar. You could say, I physically put it into your rishus, but I also physically maintained my hold on it. Is that a good giving? No. Why? Not because I didn't put it into a place that's yours with the intent that it should be yours. I did all that. But the metzias, but you did it simultaneously with an ambiguity of retaining bailus. There's no such thing. It's a contradiction. Giving and retaining is a contradiction. So in order for it to be a good maisa of mesira, it has to be that there's no retention in the maisa. So that's what he says. He says, You have to, in order for it to be good, you have to look at the chalot. You have to sort of, this is where we have to, this is where I'm applying my interpretation. He says you have to look at what would be if the chalos went through. That's the way he frames his test. He says you have to evaluate and ask yourself this this conceptual experiment. Assuming the chalos was complete, assuming the transaction was complete, would it still be in my in the giver's rishus? So he says, if the answer to that question is yes, then that means ipso facto you didn't do a good maisa of giving, because you gave it in a way that the very maisa of the giving contradicts the result of giving. Because even with the result, even if there were a result of giving, it still would be, I still would have some hold on it. If I put it into the chutzah that's yours and mine, then I'm really also keeping it in my rishus, which is contradictory to giving it into your rishus. Okay? It says, but by the Eved, what am I doing? I'm giving him a get. And the get says, you are your own man. I put it in his rishus, his hand, that is his rishus. And if the chalos, now apply the test, if it were chal, he would be his own man. And I would have absolutely no hold on him. So you can't say that that lacks any element of a full maisa of giving. The point of the matter is that the test, exactly, the test, what he calls this test, is really just an evaluation of the maisa as an absolute giving or not. That's what he means by his, see if the chalos were to take place, what would the whole thing look like? He means to say that a maisa of giving has to be an unrestrained putting into, it has to be a placement into the other person's rishus in an unrestrained, unlimited fashion. If I put it in your rishus and I say I want this to be yours, but lemaisa, even after what I say should occur, would occur, I would still have some hold on it because physically it would still be retained, then it's like I'm only half giving. Then it's like I'm giving and holding on. Because lemaisa, that's that not that is not a that by definition then is not a real maisa of giving. You understand? It undermines the maisa of giving. But by an eved, you can't say there's any lack in the mesiras nafsho, in the mesiras atzmo, because I'm giving him himself. And with that, he's completely his own. So I'm not retaining anything. There's nothing limited. It's not like I'm giving and holding. So one second. So he says, therefore, if I would give in my shutfis, if I would write a shtar, that my half belongs to you, and I would put it into our field, that, he says, might be good. It would be a similar thing to that, right? The problem is giving something else through the rishus, because it doesn't, it's not a proper vehicle of giving if intrinsically it's an action that still relates it back to me. That's the problem. You can't call it giving if I'm the object of the giving itself. But when you give an Eved himself back, in no way is the original Baal the object or the recipient of the object of the Mesira at all. So that's what it means. With the Nesinas get into the Eved's Rishus, the umbrella is removed because it's a Maisa Mesiras Atzmo into his Rishus, and there's no restriction of the fact that the Baal owns the hand, because that's exactly what, because that's only a Ma'akev, that would only be a Ma'akev in the sense that it would be another object that would be put back into his Rishus. But the Eved himself is not an object. When I'm giving the Eved himself, he's not an object that I'm putting back into my own Rishus. Giving him himself is the ultimate Maisa of release from my Rishus.
Kitzosis case won't work because it's not his Rishus at all that you're putting the...
But the Kitzosis case won't work because it's not his Rishus at all, correct. If I would give the, if I would put a Shtar Matana into my house...
This gets around the problem that's
like
being your Rishus.
That's right.
In that case, not his
exactly.
At all.
Exactly.
I just want to show
okay. Okay. So two points. Just to broaden this point over here. One is that if you and I shared a chatzer, a beshutfus, correct, and a third person wanted to give me a present,
He
could through that field.
Okay.
Why? Because he's putting it into something that's my rishus, with the intention that I should own it, and it's completely leaving his rishus, right? Because he doesn't have an ownership in this field. And on the flip side, if a third person wanted to give the Eved something, it wouldn't work. Why? Because the Eved, because in terms of the Eved's Yad, that's a Yad in terms of his own goof. That's a Yad in terms of his personal self. But everything that goes into his yad, that's the din. Whatever he gets by his yad becomes part of the Baal's rishus. That is the din. He doesn't have an independence in his yad. He does have a yad as a gavra, but it's not a yad that acquires to himself. The only thing he can acquire to himself, the only reason it works by the Adon is because it is the Adon's own thing that he's releasing by giving it to the Eved himself.
If the Adon was the one who gave him the gift.
Understand?
That's why it works by the get.
Because it's not really a giving of an object to the person. It's a giving of himself back to himself back from the one who has it. That can't be considered a retention. That's impossible, because that is the very substance of their relationship that he's giving back to him.
Aren't we talking about the star though? He's part of the star.
Yeah, but he's saying that is what the shtar is. The shtar, that's right. You can't say that the content of this shtar makes it impossible that it's considered to be a retention of his the original Baal. That's a good point, though. Let me think about it a little further. Yeah, right. Stam gift even from the Baal wouldn't be good.
That's what I mean.
Even from the Baal wouldn't be good.